Hi, this is Dave Pryor. Welcome to Sound Notes. I've got Tim Wise with me. Tim, thank you for taking some time out of your pre-Agile 2015 preparations.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave. I appreciate you having me.
So, Tim is a coach. We're getting ready for the Agile conference. Tim, do you want to talk a little bit, before we get into the meat of why we're doing the podcast, do you want to explain a little bit about the work that you do and kind of areas that you like to focus on as a coach?
Oh, yeah. And I'm kind of all over the place. So I really love what I do. Right now I'm with a fairly large client, kind of that billion, multi-billion type of client. So I help organizations transform and into a more agile state, help them get products out to the market quickly and predictably, and help them with any problems along the way, and especially in large environments. Kind of something that I specialize in is I'm more of a technical coach as well as someone that identifies with an enterprise. So I say technical because I can do those things. But the thing that I really identify with is the product development and the holistic enterprise. So I'm very technically versed, but I really lean more on the enterprise to solve problems these days. So that's something I really enjoy. Most people see me as more of a product person for that reason.
Okay.
But I really have both of them in my tool bag.
Cool. All right. So thank you for that. And now on to the main topic. So next week is Agile 2015. And we've done a couple of interviews already with folks from Leading Agile who are going to be there. And Tim and I are going to talk about what's going to happen next week. If you've not been to the Agile conference before, we'll give you some tips on how to get through the week. If you need to know what sessions to go to, because there are so many sessions, it's really hard to figure out what to go to. And a friend of mine, I interviewed him for a different podcast the other day, and Dhaval Panchal said, you just have to accept that you're going to miss the best session. Whatever you go to, the best thing that's going to happen, you won't be there.
That is absolutely correct.
So, Tim, what do you, in looking through this massive array of topics, what stands out? What do you think it's important to be at and, you know, get a sense of next year?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting this year. I thought that the lineup was particularly strong this year of what the selection committees pulled down and what they were going after. There's definitely some areas that are more well-rounded, or, you know, they have a couple of different sessions to them, something along like the DevOps, which would obviously be a hot item this year as well. But, you know, to that end, there's some subtleties to it of, well, these are some particular areas that people might want to pay attention to, some emerging spots. So, you know, in the years past, you've really heard a lot about organizations and really scaling Agile. You've heard a lot about SAFe. You've heard Mike talk a lot about here are some things that you'll need to transform your organization. So this year, I really see them getting a lot more tactical. Things like, how do we have a roadmap and a vision? So there's a session by Al Gorner with that regard.
I am so psyched that you mentioned Al. I used to work with Al, and he's one of my favorite people to talk to.
Yeah, so he had a really great session last year on metrics,
the drunk
as well.
Thing, yeah.
So a drunk under a streetlight, yep, or something like that. So yep. Anyway, yeah. So I would recommend that one. So it's one that I would anticipate coming out of that one with, you know, how do we do road mapping at a more of a portfolio level or a high level of the company, working with Agile portfolio. So now we're getting down into some real nitty gritty stuff about this scaling thing, and not just touching it, but really getting into it from a what people are experiencing and seeing. So to that end, there's a lot of scaling Agile from real companies. You know, not theory, not anything, but this is what really happened at our company.
Experience.
There's some real practical sessions in there. You know, seeing one from I believe there's a federal session. There's a couple of them. So pick the one that's close to you and go for it, or just go for the fun.
You know? Let me ask you a question about the portfolio level stuff. So last year, one of the topics that seemed to be really kind of on the front of a lot of people's minds, like I did a number of interviews with folks who were talking about how we measure and evaluate projects at the portfolio level, especially in a mixed environment. How do you understand what value means? How do you quantify it? How do you compare different types of projects and figure out, you know, if we have this strategy, what should we actually be doing? Are you getting the sense that we're getting closer to having like actual clarity on that?
You know, I think a lot of people are trying to. I've even heard it from some of our recent podcasts that we've done as Leading Agile, you know, touching on what, you know, what is value? What does that mean to organizations? To me, you really have to establish that for the organizational level. It's generally tied back to what's the strategy that the organization's going after? What are the things that we're trying to do in the coming months and years to come? Where are we trying to steer the ship? What are the problems that we're seeing in the market? So I see more of the Agile portfolios really wanting to execute well. So can we make and meet our commitments first? So can we predictably do the things that we think we can do? And what does that mean? So can our Scrum teams hit the marks that we want them to hit? And are we paying attention to the capacity of the system? And is that constraining the system? Are we constraining the system with the capacity? And from there, I'm really seeing organizations ramp it up a notch from really from the kind of what we would consider the lean startup-y type approach, where you have something like a hypothesis that needs to be validated, where they're doing a lot of A/B testing, a lot of learning, trying to figure out what's working best on for their customers and for their consumers, and really taking a look at how do we measure success from a feature level. From a portfolio level, that looks like how are we doing on our ROI? Are we getting, you know, whatever value means to the organizations? So I've worked a lot with impression-based organizations, like in the entertainment industry.
Okay.
Where you might have a commercial, so they call them impressions. So how many impressions are we generating so that yields money, it yields revenue, right? So are we trending up? Are we getting to our target audience? Where's our market fit?
But even that, so if you're looking at impressions, they still have to be, you know, you can get 10,000 people to come look at a page, but how do you, have to tie that back to an assumption about revenue and then see if it proves out.
Right. Yeah. So, and let me add, maybe clarify that a little bit, Dave. And when you say that they had to tie it back to a revenue, there's all kinds of organizations. So they may be trying to tie that back to, well, how does that impression then yield an actual customer walking in the store? So that's a particular way that they can prove value to their customer base.
Sure.
In another sense, it may just be left at it that the impression is an actual dollar amount that they can sell. That's kind of the nature of the entertainment industry anyway.
Cool. So you've looked at a lot of these talks, and you mentioned Al Sessions and some of the tracks and stuff. Is there one particular one where you're like, no matter what happens, no matter how hungover I am, not that you would be hungover, but no matter how late you're out one night, you're not going to miss this one thing?
I will be hungover one night.
All right.
That's the nature of the beast of the Agile Conference.
Right. We'll get to that part in a second.
Yeah.
What's the session you have to make?
So the one that I'm really looking forward to, there's a couple. So I really would like to go to Alice this year. I'd really like to go to some of the DevOps and see their take on the industry as a whole and see, you know, where things are trending from their perspective. I have my own perspectives on those. Just an interesting one, I think Matt Barcom has one that is on complex adaptive systems and you know, really learning systems. So I'd be interested in that within boundaries. So he has a pretty interesting talk lined up there. Mics are always good. So that, you know, working with Mike, so I understand that one.
So you're referring to Mike Kottmeyer in case people aren't.
Yeah. So he's got one on three things of transforming organizations. I live and breathe that one every day. It's absolutely great to understand, and you can really root around some principles there. So I would encourage people to go to that one.
Cool.
So there's a couple of really great ones out there as well. If you have a remote teams, or dealing with remote teams, I would encourage people to go to Mark. There's Mark Kilby. He'll be presenting on remote teams. His stuff is great. I know he's done a lot of great work in the past, and you know, that's a topic that I explored a few years back, and luckily right now I'm not having to deal with remote teams, but I know that struggle I know that struggle, and Mark's a great coach as well. So his would be one that is altruistic as well. So Mark's very altruistic in giving back to the community. So I would recommend people go to that one as well.
And I think it's really important because according to the Scrum report, the State of Scrum report that came out last week, it's over 30% of the teams, like just over 30, are doing Scrum remotely. And that's just right. Obviously one part of Agile. So it is a norm now. I mean, it's happening everywhere.
It's completely a norm, and I'm abnormal where I'm helping out currently. So there's actually a mandate to be co-located from the president of the organization. So it's kind of a really abnormal place to be.
That's very cool, though.
Yes, it is super cool.
All right, so let's switch gears. So we're going to talk a little bit about next week in terms of how to survive. So I've asked a bunch of different people questions about this because I always find that when I go, it's almost like starting the school year. I walk into that conference with the best intentions. I'm going to eat well. I'm going to get a good night's sleep. I'm not going to overtax myself. And by the third day, I'm like, oh my God, when is it going to be over? And it's a brutal week.
It really is a brutal week.
In a good way, but it's taxing.
So last year, I'll just share a story with you. Last year, the conference was in Orlando. My family really wanted to visit Orlando. They'd never been to Disney. And I told them that they were more than welcome to come, but they would not see me. So they saw me as the stumbling guy coming in at 2 a.m., you know, stumbling because I'm tired, of course.
Yes.
And also then I would leave out really early the next morning. So it's basically like I wasn't there. So it came to, it very much was true. It's a completely jam-packed time. I would encourage people to drink lots of water, pace themselves, and really make sure that they can take in the information in the sessions and collaborate with other people. It's a really good time to, you know, get out there and meet some thought leaders. They're walking around, and you can stop one of them, have a chat. Most of them are very welcoming. So it's a really unique environment of the people are accessible.
Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest things. Like, you can walk up to anybody and ask them a question, they're happy to talk to you. And like, I'm filling out all the stuff for the interviews I'm going to do next week, and I feel like a total fanboy. But all those guys, they're totally like happy to just spend time kicking the stuff around, which is a really neat thing.
Yeah.
So
kind of that fanboy, I will refrain from name dropping, but I was in a room with three different people that I highly respected last year. And, you know, sitting around having some drinks, but also discussing some really intense, high-level Agile topics. And it was just, I had to look around and say, okay, this is the place that I'm at. And, you know,
it's pretty damn cool.
It's cool. And it's time to get down to some really cool talks. And really, I enjoyed the sessions outside the talks last year, probably more than anything. There's a guy named Llewellyn Falco that many people know. I would be surprised if Llewellyn's not there again this year. I don't know if he will be or not, but okay. I think I sat down with him at a version one party, and I think he gave me three presentations personally on his own. that's the kind of the nature of the conference. You have very willing people as long as you're an active participant and willing to have a good conversation.
Yeah, and there's all the stuff that happens like in the open jam, and people schedule other stuff in the mornings and the evenings, and there's going to be the lightning talks as well. So stuff that people vote on while they're there, there's going to be a lot.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how well the lightning talks turn out. I thought about submitting one. I was like, let me hold off on that. But I'll probably be an active participant in some of those.
Yeah, they did it at the Scrum Gathering, and they went great.
Yeah, I like the idea of it. And you know, the short crispness of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the, you know, being in the longer sessions, you can get one or, you know, it depends on your level. You might get one or two things, just a nugget out of them. And I really like the idea of a lightning talk to maybe get a lot of nuggets out quickly. And that's something I maybe I'll achieve this year. And I'm looking forward to.
Cool. So do you have a strategy for how to maintain pacing? Like I try to take nap. I mean, I always try to like go back and crash. I mean, I get over kind of worn out from being slightly introverted, and I have like kind of max out on my social capacity, and then I got to go be quiet in a room and play guitar for an hour or two. Do you have anything that you do to kind of help you cope with the always on aspects of this event?
Well, first I have to ask you how you're getting your guitar there.
I have a little Martin backpacker.
Okay, there it is. Yeah, I need one of those, man.
They're awesome.
So other than that, though, yeah, find your, you know, be willing to miss a session is what I would generally say. Don't pack it so full that you're, you know, that there's so many things going on. In you might find a particular time where you have four sessions that you want to go to. I would say being alert and attentive at these things is more important than really anything else, so you can be an active participant. So if you need a break, go take a break and realize that the conversations don't stop from 8 a.m. until, you know, as long as you want to go.
Until they shut down the bar.
Yeah, there's a conversation to be had, you know, so there's always learning in there. And you'll find yourself learning from a variety of places, particularly for the extroverts in the crowd. You know, they will always, if they're willing to start up a conversation, then you will have one there for you.
Yeah. Cool. All right, man. Thanks. So I'm looking forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's always fun to hang out with you guys and in particular you. So,
and no karaoke this time, which
I will refrain from my masterful karaoke skills.
Bravest Josh. Karaoke guy ever, as far as I'm concerned.
That was the only time I've ever done it. So hopefully that'll be a one and done type of conversation.
Yeah. Cool. All right, man. Thanks. See you in a couple of days.
Thank you, Dave. See ya.
Yeah.